morning, everybody. Welcome to another lecture on compact star physics. So the last time we started to discuss the properties of hybrid stars, so which is a mixture of ordinary neutron matter in the mantle and quark matter in the core of a neutron star. And in between, we discovered there could be a mixed phase. So if the surface tension is small, we will have a Gibbs construction. So we really can have bubbles of one phase immersed in the background of the other phase. We can even have a pasta in the core, Lasagna type and spaghetti type structures in the mixed phase of a hybrid star. And then we discussed also implications for the mass radius relation and devised the Zeidoff criterion, which tells us what is the condition for a new stable family of solutions for the Tolman-Oppenheimer-Volkoff equations, which only happens if you have some kind of a phase transition, which is a strong phase transition. It does not need to be first order, but first order helps. And if it is just a smooth transition, but where we have a plateau where the pressure is nearly constant, and then the rising pressure again at higher energy densities, we produce a new stable family, the twin stars. Any questions about last lectures on hybrid stars? Any question? Okay, so today we continue with the classification of hybrid stars. We have considered the Zeidoff criterion. So, which we can write in the following form as a jump in energy density. Must be larger than 1/2 plus 3/2 times the transition pressure over the transition energy density. Trans, yes, it stands for transition. So we have that kind of equation of state, pressure versus energy density. We have a transition energy density and a transition pressure from some low density equation of state. Then we have a jump delta epsilon. And then we continue like this. So we can define that point, and this is delta epsilon, to fully classify the feature of that type of equation of state. Yeah? Good. So if this is fulfilled, there will be an instability following immediately the onset of the mixed phase. Instability in mass radius diagram. So the ansatz we choose now is the following. Ansatz for the high density equation of state. Yeah, this is this phase here, phase 2. Phase 1, we take any normal nuclear matter model we think we can trust up to some certain density. And for the high density equation of state, 2, we make the simplest ansatz that it is a linear function of the energy density with some prefactor S epsilon 0. And subsequently, in most cases, we study S should be, of course, smaller or equal 1. And if we have S equal 1/3, it would be the MIT Bragg model. If you put S equal 1, it would be the limiting equation of state, the causal equation of state. Yeah, so if S equal 1/3, this is the so-called MIT Bragg model type of equation of state. If you put S equal 1, this is the limiting equation of state. Yeah, which goes back to Seldovich, so one can also call it the Seldovich equation of state. Seldovich equation of state. Okay. Of course, we can imagine that the larger S is, the more stable will be that branch. So if you really look for stable twin family solutions and third family solutions, for S equal 1 is the most promising case. So then we can look at the total equation of state. So we have some pressure as a function of energy density, which is the low density equation of state. If the pressure is smaller or equal, the transitional energy pressure. And the one extended here is the one which we have just specified with S times epsilon minus epsilon transitional plus delta epsilon for pressure larger than the transitional. Yeah. Okay. Good. With that, we can construct now solutions, and we have two parameters basically. In principle, there are three parameters, but in practice, we put S equal 1 to have the most optimistic case, and then we look for possible solutions. As a function of the transitional point, say the transitional pressure, and delta epsilon. And it turns out to be convenient to have dimensionless units. So we plot it in this way, that we have P transitional over epsilon transitional okay, it's the other way around. Great. It's delta epsilon over epsilon transitional versus the pressure over the transitional energy density. Yep. Good. So now the Seidorf criterion is a line in these two parameters. You see, these are exactly those two parameters here. This is 1/2 plus 3/2. So this follows, so I'm being quite schematic here, so this follows this line here. So this is Seidorf. So we expect that if delta epsilon is larger, which would mean if we are on the upper side of this line, we would have a third family of solutions. And if we are below that line, we will not have a third family of solutions. Yeah? Good. So how does this look like? This mass radius curve then looks like this. So let's make little diagrams for M versus R for the equation of state as a function of delta epsilon and P transitional. So the Seidorf criterion states that if we have this transition at a fiducial not a fiducial, at a critical energy density, then we get an instability, which means the mass drops as for lower radii, goes down like this. There's a kink. This is exactly what the side of criterion is about. And then to the stiff high-density coefficient of state, which is now the underlying assumption, and we take the stiffest one possible, we get this third family of solutions. Yeah. So this is called case D. Case D for disconnected. Okay. Then we have the ordinary case. So the neutron star branch and the twin star branch are disconnected. Yeah, this is what D means. Then below that we have a smooth transition, more or less. We do not fulfill the side of criterion. So the mass radius curve looks like the one of an ordinary neutron star. We have a transition, but the jump is so small that we just continue the curve and we don't really see it, that there is a change inside a neutron star because the jump is too small, so the curve continues like this. Yeah. So let's make clear where we have the high density equation of state. So this part is here, and this part is here, and here. Yeah. So this is this part here. Good. So this will be the connected part, C, case C. Connected, yeah? So the two branches are connected. Now, there could be also the case that the equation of state is not stiff enough to really produce this branch here. Yeah, this can happen actually if the transitional pressure is at too large density. So if we are too close already to the maximum mass configuration, we have to phase transition, make it unstable, then we have no way to make it stable again, basically. The matter is just too unstable to start with, so even if we have the stiffest possible equation of state, we cannot produce a stable third family branch. So this looks like this. This will be happening here, right? So we have the side of criterion, A. So it goes up. Then we have an instability, and maybe it goes a little bit up like this, but it never really reaches again a maximum mass, and then will collapse eventually. Will circle down like this. Yeah? So this is this curve here, where we have the quark phase here, and then this mass radius plot, basically, the thing is absent. Yeah, so this is the phase A. A, D, C, absent. There must be a connecting line here, a dividing line between these two phases, somewhere here. Okay. So we also have the connected branch down here. Now there's an interesting other possibility, which can happen in a small part of the diagram, where we have a mixture of both. So we have a mixture of C and D. So we have a third family. But the following thing is happening, that we are not fulfilling the side of criterion. So the curve continues like that. But we are close to the side of criterion. Yeah? So we can barely increase the mass with a decrease in radius. And then the instability sets in. Yeah, so we continue along the hybrid phase, but the change is so small that the whole thing gets unstable. But later on, we reach the very high density equation of state. The pressure increases and produces a stable third family branch. So this is where we have both solutions. So which will be in between and below the side of criterion. So it will be here. There we have case B, where we have the following picture. This is B. And this looks like that. That we have a mass radius curve which goes up first. Then we reach the high density phase. So we will have a smaller slope like this. Then it will collapse and will be unstable. So the maximum mass is reached here. It will be unstable. But then if we have enough quark material to support the compact star, it will be stable again. So in this case, the hybrid star material, the hybrid star stuff, is in both branches. It's in the branch of the neutron star and in the branch of the third family. Yeah? That's why it's called both. So we have here, we have the quark phase here, and here we have the quark phase. Yeah. Okay, so A means third family is A absent, B at both branches. Or let's say third family quark matter is absent at both branches, C connected, or D disconnected. Yeah. So this is a classification scheme which was devised by Alford, Prakash, and Han a few years ago. So this goes back to Alford, Prakash, Han. And I hope I haven't forgot any author. That was in 2013, so not too long ago. Okay, any questions about this classification scheme? Yeah, that's basically all we can think of. So this sums it up, cannot be more than that. Good. Yeah, question?
More specifically regarding the S parameter in the high-density equation of state, mm-hmm. What you said earlier that the higher S value means that the configuration is more stable. Why and how?
Yeah, so the question was, why is it so that higher values of S are favorable for the third family, the stability of the third family? Just imagine that instead of S equal 1, we would have S equal 1/3. Then the equation of state would look like this, right? Would be a different line. So this would be S equal 1, say, and this would be S equal 1/3. Would be a smaller slope. So for the same energy density, I get less pressure and therefore less stability. Any other question? Okay. As we still have more time than I expected, I can introduce another classification scheme. Well, let's discuss the mass radius relation first, and then we can discuss this other classification scheme. So let's look at the next section, mass radius relation. For hybrid stars, the last thing was just a schematic, how the general topology looks like of this mass radius curves. But now let's go to real models and see what constraints we have and how this might look like. So combine nucleonic equation of state with high density ansatz we had before. So we have the following mass radius diagram. Kilometer 5, 10, 15, 20. Okay, so we have seen this plot before. We have, of course, the limit for black holes, which is this line here. We had the Buchdahl limit, and we had the causality limit. And the causality is 8 and 2. Yeah, so these are black holes here. This is Buchdahl limit. And this is causality. Yeah, and then we have the additional limit that we're saying, okay, we're looking at this type of equation of state where we say the pressure is equal epsilon minus epsilon zero with S equal one. Yeah, or CS squared is equal one. The limiting equation of state. And we demand that this equation of state produces at least two solar masses. So we get this typical mass radius curve where m goes like r cubed, spanning out this region here. Yeah, so this all to the left is basically excluded from causality plus two solar masses. Yeah. So this one here excluded. Because of the two solar mass measurement. So now we say we have hybrid stars. Before that, we discussed quark stars, but now we start with a low-density equation of state. So we start again here at this point and go on and make the matching. Yeah, we had this curve before for ordinary neutron stars. We did this piecewise polytropes, and for the piecewise polytropes, we found that we reach two solar masses somewhere here. And we reach something like 2.5 or 2.7 solar masses around here. This actually goes down lower, a little bit lower. Yeah, and we have seen that this line of maxima is connected by a compactness which is about 0.3 typically. Yeah, note that causality has a compactness of 0.354. Yeah, and Buchdahl had a compactness of 0.4444, 4 over 9. Yeah, and black holes have a compactness of a half. So this region here are the neutron stars we had before. Now we match this high density equation of state with a phase transition. So in principle, we can start somewhere here, make a phase transition and produce another branch. Yeah, or we can make a phase transition down here and produce then a new branch, covering all these features. So of course there might be just a continuation like that. But case C, of course, are somehow included in here. We didn't had any big jump, any big change in the mass radius diagram, those cases basically are already included here. Yeah. These are hybrid stars which masquerade as neutron stars. Or the other way around, neutron stars masquerade hide that they could have hybrid star material in the matter if we have KC realized in nature. Yeah, only one of those cases, of course, is realized in nature. So we could have this jump here, so it continues and jump and goes on like this. Or we have just, it stops there sharply because we have this phase transition, or we have this other branch. Yeah, so now different things can happen, but we can, how can we explore that? I mean, we can run a code and sample over all this stuff. Or we think about what is the borderline of all these equations of state. What are the most extreme cases to the left and to the right of those curves so that we can cover all these different cases? Basically, irrespective of our ansatz for the high-density nuclear equation of state. Yeah? Note that we can go maybe up to twice saturation density or three times and then make the transition. But at 2 to 3 times saturation density, we don't have any confidence in the nuclear models. The only confidence we have is up to saturation density, which is somewhere here. At that point, we have saturation density. This we can trust. This is an extrapolation. But still, we can get a firm statement and a firm measurement, a firm limit on the mass radius diagram. Any idea how we can do this? What would be the most extreme case? Yeah?
One phase.
Pardon me?
We have only one phase.
No, we just... one phase we discussed before. We had pure neutron matter or pure quark matter. No, just for two phases. This is for one phase of neutron matter. The other one for quark stars was going like this, right? This we have. Now we want to have hybrid stars. Any idea how this can look like? The limit, the limiting equation of state. We take this one. And we take two extreme cases. We start right here. We say, okay, we have quark matter at the lowest density possible, that's saturation density, the most extreme case. Of course, some colleagues would jump up and would say there's no way that we can have this phase transition at saturation density. It is the most extreme case, just to explore really the full phase space of possible mass radius curves we have. So we can do two things. We have a big jump, and then we have this equation of state, and we go up. However, we have the two solar mass constraints. So we have to reach two solar masses. Yeah. If the jump is too large, we will not reach two solar masses. Yeah. If the jump is actually larger than this limiting equation of state, yeah, we will not make it. So the jump has to be smaller than the vacuum energy, which corresponds to this case here, which is about 1 GeV, which is about 4 times the saturation energy density. Yeah. So we cannot have a jump which is larger than 4 times the saturation energy density. So we take the maximum value where we can still reach two solar masses with this low density equation of state, which will be a little bit smaller than this one, to reach two solar masses, and this is about here. And it goes like this. Yeah, so this is here, limiting case. For delta epsilon max. So that the maximum mass is 2 solar masses. Yeah. If we find a more massive pulsar, say with 2.2 or 2.4 solar masses, then of course this jump must be smaller to reach this value, and this curve will go to the right. The other limiting case is we always also start here and then say, okay, the jump is zero. Now we just say we go immediately to the other phase. There's no jump, continuation. So basically the equation of state looks like this. we have a low density equation of state, then there's no jump and we go immediately to the high density phase. Yeah, phase one, phase two. This is for delta epsilon equals zero. This is the other extreme we can have. And then we will find actually something which is similar to the Rolle-Ruffini mass limit. This is exactly what Rolle-Ruffini did to devise the mass limit. If you go back to the chapter on compact stars, we already discussed this. So this goes up like this, yeah, and goes actually to values which are somewhere here, close to four solar masses. Actually, in my plot, it's something like 3.8 solar masses. So this goes up to 3.8 solar masses. And this is Rolle-Ruffini. Okay, so I still have some blue stuff. So this was the neutron star stuff here. And now we have the hybrid star stuff, which goes to even higher values. So this is hybrid star. And the other one is neutron star. Neutron matter star, so to say, or nucleon star. Yeah, no phase transition. Now from this plot, you can see also that we can immediately get criterion whether or not we find a neutron star or a hybrid star, how we can tell whether we have seen a hybrid star or a neutron star, right? So if you find, if you measure the mass, we don't know. Yeah. But if you measure the radius, we can distinguish. So let's assume now we measure a radius which is somewhere here. Then we cannot tell. This might be then a neutron matter or a hybrid star branch. But now if you measure a pulsar with a mass and a radius which is somewhere here, we know it has to be some hybrid star. Yeah, there must be a sudden change in the equation of state signaling, there's a new phase. There's not a smooth, the equation of state is not smooth. This is what this curve tells you. Yeah. Or if you find a very small radius, then we also know for sure this is a hybrid star. So we have a smoking gun. This is called in literature sometimes smoking gun for hybrid stars.
And which side of the diagram would be a continuous or discontinuous phase?
R is smaller than R neutron star, neutron matter star. Or R is larger than the radius of a neutron matter star. So, sorry, what was the question?
On which side of the smoking gun are the continuous and discontinuous cases?
The cases. Yeah, so the ABCD cases. So C, of course, drops out. C is somewhere in the blue region. Mm-hmm. The A stuff is also somewhere in the blue region, right? Somewhere here. It just stops. So A and C are in here. This is A and C. Then only C and D. What else do we have? D and B we can have. B would be a small jump. So B would be this case here. These are the B cases. And the D cases which have a strong jump are here, those cases. Roughly. Of course, there could be also B cases in here and D cases also in here, but these should be mainly D cases and B cases because one is at small delta epsilon, the other one is at large delta epsilon. Yeah? So now if we have a radius measurement, so what's the minimum value of those radii? We did actually give some numbers on neutron stars. So that number is about 10 kilometers for 1.4 solar mass here, or about 11 kilometers for 1.4 solar mass, and it's about 10 kilometers for a 2 solar mass neutron star. So if we measure a radius of a neutron star which has 2 solar masses and a radius below 10 kilometers, then we know it must be a D-case hybrid star. Yeah. If you measure a radius below 11 kilometers for 1.4 solar mass, we know it must be a D-hybrid neutron star branch. Yeah. Somehow we have radius constraints for measurements of LIGO. So LIGO somehow limits the radius at 1.4 solar mass. So the LIGO limit says the radius must be smaller than 13 kilometers, which is somewhere here. So this is LIGO. And now I'm running out of color. LIGO limit, which we're going to discuss next week. How this LIGO limit comes about. The LIGO limit says the radius is smaller than about 13 kilometers for about 1.4 solar masses. And now NICER, where's NICER? So NICER is somewhere here. And that's unfortunate. It's somewhere here. Yeah. So pure neutron stars and hybrid stars are still possible, but it already cuts away some part of the d-hybrid stars. They're excluded. So this one here is excluded. So this I call the NICER limit. Radius must be larger than 10 kilometers, about, for 1.4 solar mass star. So the error should actually be the other way around, right? The limit goes to this side. So we know now for 1.4 solar mass star, the mass radius diagram has to go through these two boundaries set by LIGO and by NICER. So we already exclude some of the D stuff. And basically, the extreme B stuff is excluded by LIGO, and some of the most extreme D stuff is excluded by NICER already. And this all happened within the last 2 years or so, right? Good. Any questions about this? So we still have a few more minutes. Then let me come to another classification, which is not in the script. Specifically, we look at the case D under various assumptions. There are four different cases. Case D. There are four different cases. Subclasses. So I need to specify now the masses. Now, from stellar evolution theory, we know that the mass of a neutron star should be larger than one solar mass. So this is some dividing line. From the pulsar mass measurement, we know that we have a 2 solar mass limit. So now, if I have these different cases, the most extreme one is, okay, I have an early onset of a phase transition below one solar mass. Then I have a jump. Instability, and then the whole thing rises again. But now this branch has to reach two solar masses, this one here. Yeah? This would be one type. Another type would be, okay, I go above two solar masses here. And then I have a transition, and then I reach two solar masses. Yeah, so this goes basically, so I have a branch here, and then I go up to two solar masses. So this is the second case, so this is the most extreme case here. And then we have another case here, reaching, where we have now the maximum mass in the hybrid star branch reaches two solar masses. So hybrid stars with M max larger two solar masses, larger or equal to solar masses. And then, of course, we can have two other cases, which are quite interesting. So in this case here, if you look at a 1.4 solar mass star, we will only find one configuration. Here we will have two configurations for 1.42 solar masses. Yeah, the typical neutron stars are located here. So here, in that case, we will not have twins, and here we will have twins. Now, the other classification is as follows. As you can imagine, now we argue that we have two solar masses in the neutron star branch. So we start with this kind of equation of state. And then have a jump. And depending on the delta epsilon, we can have two classes again. So one class is we're getting slightly unstable and then stable again and produce a hybrid star branch around two solar masses. So if you measure around 1.4 solar mass, we will only find one configuration. But at two solar masses, we could find two configurations. So this is case one. And in the other case, we have a jump, and the branch is somewhere, maybe again, at 1.4 solar mass. So we have now the twin star solution, different radii at the same mass, at around 1.4 or 1.6 solar masses. So this is this branch here. Yeah. So these are neutron star matter, neutron matter star, neutron matter star with M max larger equal to solar masses. Yeah. So these are the four different cases we have, yeah, which is driven by observation now for the masses. Yeah. Good. Any questions about this classification scheme? Yeah? Yeah, twins. So here we have twins at M about 1.4 solar masses. Yeah, which means M1 is equal to M2, but R1 is much larger than R2. This is a twin. Yeah. And here we have twins at 1.6 to 2 solar masses, actually, in this case. This is around 1.4. Yeah, basically, we can have twins between 1.9 solar masses. Also. Yeah, it turns out that this branch, with what we know from this equation of state, can never really go down below 1.4 solar masses in actual calculations. We stop at 1.6 or so. Yeah. And this actually is work done in-house. So this was work we did actually here with Jan-Erik Christian. This was his thesis. Okay. Any other questions? Then we can. Okay, so then we can stop right at time. We stop here, and next time we continue with gravitational waves. Yeah, and in 5 minutes we continue with the exercises.